You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day, although we did skip Thursday thanks to my sinuses have been out of control. I don't know what the deal is. It's been hard, been difficult to talk. So we are doing today, and then we're going to do Saturday to make up for it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network, as I said. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we are not going to do the mailbag today. We're going to do that for Saturday. Today, we are going to start at least with the Matt Weiss situation, as that has escalated to the point of untenability. So we obviously have to discuss that. So that is the plan. So if you're living under a rock, then you probably haven't heard by now that a good 7 hours ago or so from the point that I am speaking at the moment, Matt Weiss was dismissed from the University of Michigan, according to a statement by Ward Manuel, as sent out by a team or an athletic department spokesman. So that is no good for Matt Weiss. In many ways, that's not good for Michigan, but it does open up some possibilities, of course. Certainly, that is essentially an admission of guilt by the University of Michigan, at least, to not see through the investigation, or at least they've gotten the pertinent parts of the investigation back to determine that he is at fault for the incident. So that doesn't bode well for him, doesn't bode well for his future endeavors, though that was this in the statement that he released. He said that he is looking forward to the future endeavors and such. But I don't think that that bodes very well for him and his future, which is disappointing for a guy that certainly had machinations on doing a lot more than just a college level quarterback's coach and co-offensive coordinator. So that is what it is. It's disappointing for him, certainly, but Michigan now has an opening on the coaching staff. And I think the question is, how do they fill it? And it isn't necessarily precluded to the idea of hiring a quarterback's coach. I know most would probably think that and think quarterback's coach, maybe a co-offensive coordinator still. The other offensive mind now, certainly I would imagine they will stay on offense because defense has got, what, Jesse Minter, Mike Elston, George Hilo, Jay Harbaugh, and Steve Klinkscale. But they could certainly, you know, Jay Harbaugh's moved around a lot. Would it surprise you at all if he moved to the offensive side again? No, it wouldn't. But I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I don't necessarily think that's what's going to happen. But it wouldn't surprise me. And the reason why I am looking at this as a situation where they can kind of do anything they want is because we saw it happen with the hiring of Matt Weiss himself. Because when he was hired, they had just lost Brian Jean-Marie to Tennessee. And he was the linebackers coach. They had already hired George Hilo to come in as the safeties coach. So then what they ended up doing was moving him to linebackers, moving Ron Bellamy from wide receivers to safeties, and then brought in Matt Weiss, which was, you know, it was a really good hire, especially at the time. Perhaps it hasn't paid the dividends that people have hoped, especially given that he's thought to be the red zone offensive coordinator, and that hasn't been exactly a strong place for the Wolverines. But at the same time, I do think that it wasn't a bad hire by any stretch. So it wouldn't surprise me, though, if, again, Jim Harbaugh is like, who's the best guy that I can hire? And then we'll figure out a way to plug and play. Now, hopefully, it is a quarterback's coach. It is someone in that vein, because I like the idea of continuity as much as they can across the board, right? Instead of just consistently moving guys around, even if they're still on staff. I'd like the idea of some continuity, because that's one thing that this coaching staff has been missing recently, is continuity. Because even, you know, like last year, they kept a lot of similar coaches, but how many stayed in their same spots? George Hilo, Steve Klinkscale, but Steve Klinkscale didn't even have spring ball last year. That was kind of it, right? Otherwise, everyone on Mike Hart. Otherwise, everyone else moved around. Jay Harbaugh moved from running backs to safeties. Then Sharon Moore getting the boost to co-offensive coordinator, as did Matt Weiss. Well, Matt Weiss was in the same position as well, but they both got boosts to offensive coordinators. They brought in or they elevated Grant Newsom to tight ends coach. So there are a lot of different ways that you can go if you're Michigan, because you can go and find a top-notch guy maybe at another position, or say that you do decide that, there's this stud whatever coach, you can bring him in and then maybe move somebody. But there's only, obviously, though, you're getting guys who are kind of staunchly in their position, so it's not something that you can necessarily easily do. Jay Harbaugh and Ron Bellamy are the only two that have, like, kind of moved, you know, from one side of the ball to the other. So I don't know how much that they would do that, but, I mean, if say there's, like, a stud safeties coach out there, maybe that is what you do. And Harbaugh certainly could be capable of coaching quarterbacks. And that was the intention going into the 2021 season before Matt Weiss ended up being the hire. So it will be interesting to see where Michigan goes from here. And certainly there are names that are being bandied about. I want to discuss some of the ones that I've just kind of seen out there. And then we'll get into just a tiny bit of basketball talk. I didn't, again, watch a ton of the game yesterday, as I had Trent Noop writing about it. But I did watch some of it, and continues to be alarming what I've seen. I'll kind of echo some of the things I said on SiriusXM. So we are going to move on and do that. Before we do that, BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for everyday professional and amateur leagues out there. From pro football, college football, basketball, all of that, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you could even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Again, apologies that we're going to keep this one relatively short. Again, and apologies for missing Thursday. This isn't like being sick as much as it's like just incapable of talking without pain. So I don't know what's going on. And because I'm a dude, I don't tend to go to the doctor or use Teladoc or any of that stuff. Anyhow, let's continue on into this conversation about where Michigan goes from here. Now, there's several names that are being bandied about. It ranges from in a lot of them, and I am kind of pulling from some of the threads I've seen on the fort on Three Message Board. This isn't me saying like any of these are candidates. Actually, I just want to discuss some of the guys that those people are talking about, because I think that the chances of any of these people actually becoming the next quarterback's coach, co-offensive coordinator, or whatever at Michigan are pretty low. But I think it warrants some consideration to discuss it. So I'll start with Greg Roman, because he was just let go as the offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens. So he's a name that a lot of people are talking about, and it doesn't seem like a lot of people are very interested in that. Keeping in mind that he was with Jim Harbaugh at Stanford and then at San Francisco. I don't know that that is at all anywhere close to a feasible option, because it would be a pretty big self-demotion for Greg Roman. Because when you keep in mind that after Jim Harbaugh left the NFL, he stayed in the NFL. So it's not like it's not only did he stay at the NFL, he stayed as the offensive coordinator. So it would be something, right? For him to essentially go and be a quarterback's coach. Cause I don't know that they're necessarily going to say to like Sharon Moore, like, hey, so now you're going to have a co-offensive coordinator of a guy that you haven't worked with, you know? So here's Greg Roman's resume, post Stanford. So he's with Harbaugh at Stanford for 2 years, 2009, 2010, as the tight ends coach and offensive tackles coach, was the offensive coordinator with him the entire time. When Harbaugh left, he went to the Bills to be the offensive coordinator. He was an offensive assistant and tight ends coach, and essentially for 2 years with the Ravens before being promoted to offensive coordinator from 2019 to 2022. So to say suddenly I'm going to be a quarterback's coach in college, when, in keeping in mind, he was an offensive line assistant with the Ravens, like he was in the NFL with the Panthers, the Texans, the Ravens, was an offensive coordinator in high school for 1 year, and then went to Stanford. So he was only really in the college ranks for 2 years. And I understand Matt Weiss didn't exactly have a stellar reputation as a recruiter. They kind of eluded him to some degree. But it's the idea that suddenly you're going to go out and get this guy, and then you're going to ask him to go out on the recruiting trail. I just don't think that it's a fit for either side. So even though he does have 6 years with Jim Harbaugh, I just do not see it as being a likely type of deal. Now, he does have those 2 years of being a quarterback's coach with the Texans. But again, I just do not foresee an idea of him demoting himself like that. Next, I'll mention David Shaw, who, again, I've seen his name bandied about. He's not one for, it's kind of the same reason. It would probably be less out of the question. And now he was the offensive coordinator under Harbaugh at Stanford. But then he coached Stanford from 2011 until this year. Now, I think that it's a little bit more of a likely possibility, because we've seen coaches demote themselves to a position group and go back to being a head coach before. Even in Ann Arbor, Jim McElwain did the same thing after he left Florida. Then he became the... I mean, he was already gone from Florida for, a year or two. No, I might have that wrong. I don't remember exactly when. No, he was only, I think he went right from Florida to Michigan. I was thinking Dan Mullen was hired a year earlier than he was. But he, McElwain went from being the head coach of Florida, the wide receivers coach at Michigan. And then the next year he went to Central Michigan. So it's not out of the question, but at the same time, David Shaw is in conversations, at least interviewing, for the head post with the Denver Broncos. So, and he wouldn't even necessarily be coming to Michigan to be an offensive coordinator. It would be because I don't think that they're going to demote Sharon Moore. So again, that one is one that maybe doesn't make a lot of sense. Plus, I think that there's some inherent, like, feeling like you want to get someone that's going to be a little bit more dynamic rather than run the typical Harbaugh ball that we've seen out of Stanford or anything like that, because you have J.J. McCarthy. Now, granted, he was the offensive coordinator with Andrew Luck. So, I mean, maybe that's a good fit. But and he hasn't really had a quarterback of that level. I mean, K.J. Costello, maybe nominally at Stanford, but I don't know about that one. One that I really like is Jimmy Doherty, who has ties to Michigan. He was an analyst at Michigan for a couple years on the offensive side of the ball before following Jed Fish to UCLA. I think that he's the offensive coordinator with Arizona right now. I don't know if he would take a move down in order to necessarily be the, you know, a quarterback's coach, maybe co-offensive coordinator or pass game coordinator, I guess. I don't know if that's something he would willingly do, going from a not great Power 5 program to the two-time Big Ten champion. I don't know. I think it would certainly be a really good hire, and he's a former quarterback himself. I think that that would be a very good one. Then next, I just want to dispel one, because someone brought up Devin Gardner, and someone said, well, he doesn't have any coaching experience. He has actually a lot of coaching experience. It's just not like in the same traditional sense. He's more of a guru type, like, you know, essentially, but not just specifically for quarterbacks, but, you know, for like George Whitfield types. But keeping in mind, he was the guru for Dante Moore. And I know you can look at that and say, well, who knows how he is in college, but we do know how Daquan Finn is. And he's certainly, I think, capable and would probably relate well to kids on the recruiting trail. I don't know if that Michigan's going to go for that much of an unknown. There's an in-house option. Kirk Campbell, who was the offensive coordinator at Old Dominion, who is currently an offensive analyst for Michigan. He's a guy that could be promoted. I could see that. But if I was to really go out there, who would I want? I'm going to look this up just to make sure that I'm not speaking completely out of sorts here. And this would be a swing, and I think it'd be hard to lure him. And you'd have to wait a few weeks. But I would go after Joe Brady. Now, can you lure him from the NFL, where he currently is, as the quarterback's coach of the Buffalo Bills? That's a big question. And would he want to come back to the college level? But you think about what he did with LSU in 2019. I mean, he was stellar. I mean, that offense took off. You have that capability of doing something similar with J.J. McCarthy and those guys. So, but the Bills are in the playoff. So it's a little hard to tell exactly, you know, if you're at a successful NFL program, how willing would you be to leave that and come back to college? I guess it just depends on what your goals are, especially because he's at the same spot. He went from being an offensive coordinator 2 years with the Panthers under Matt Rhule to this last year being the quarterback's coach after he got let go from the Panthers. I would imagine his goal is offensive coordinator. So that's where maybe Jim Harbaugh's contract and this whole getting a bigger assistant pool might make a difference. Matt Weiss was making $850,000 a year, I believe. I think you'd have to probably go north of that in order to get Joe Brady. But that is the guy that I would definitely get. He's young. He's 33 years old. Absolutely fits the bill. He was a grad assistant at Penn State for a couple years. Was with LSU when they won a national championship. That is who I would go after harder than anybody. But and let me give one off the wall type deal here, and that would be move Jay Harbaugh to quarterbacks, which would be asking a lot, and I know a lot of people would hate it. But he's done a great job, I think, at every position he's coached. And then, you know, he would coach that, probably co-coach that with Jim. And then have Sharon be the full offensive coordinator. And then see if you can bring back Chris Partridge now and have him coach safeties. Do I think that Partridge would do it? I'm not exactly sure. He went to Ole Miss to get the bump, the title bump. So they're not going to have a defensive coordinator and two co-defensive coordinators. They're just not going to do that. But that would be an interesting move if they could find a way to make that happen. So, I don't know. We wait. We see. We'll see how quickly this gets resolved. Or if the longer it doesn't, the more you can sit there and think, well, maybe there's a chance that they're making a swing. And it's not unheard of NFL position coaches to make the switch. It isn't. So I guess it just all depends on what their prerogative is. We are going to continue on. Let's just do a couple minutes on basketball. Nothing too crazy. here in just a moment. Before we do that, if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you have got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you are like me and you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. All three of those are among my favorites. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. What's even better is they're healthy, only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. All right, well, let's keep this short and sweet. Because it's challenging to speak, annoyingly. So, basketball loses to Maryland. So they split the series 1-1 on the year. This, you know, they won at home, lose to Maryland on the road at Maryland. Starts off not great. Lots of offensive rebound by the Terps. Michigan storms back, ties the game, and then promptly just stops having any capability offensively. Maryland, certainly in zone quite a bit down the stretch, and Michigan can't hit shots, and Michigan can't stop them. So I think it's high time we understand that this team, barring a miracle, is probably not a tournament team, which is disappointing given the talent. But it all goes back, and we've talked about this before, it all comes back to roster construction. And I was asked about this team on SiriusXM the other day, Wednesday, and I said one of the problems with this group is that they don't have reliability outside of really Hunter Dickinson and sometimes Jet Howard. Whereas some of these other years, they had so many guys that you could rely on. If a team decided that they were going to stop one player or two players, they had three or four other guys that could take over a game from an offensive standpoint. Whether you want to go way back to Derek Walton and Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, Mo Wagner, Duncan Robinson, you want to get a little bit more current, Mike Smith. I mean, he wasn't really an offensive force, but he had it in him. Xavier Simpson, John Teske, before he came along, Franz Wagner. They've had guys that that you could rely on to make plays when they needed it. They just do not have that right now. Because even Hunter Dickinson does not look nearly as dominant as he has in the first 2 years. Maybe that's because we expect him to take a step forward, but I think at this point he just kind of is who he is. And I think teams are getting wiser about figuring out how they can defend him. Now, he had a couple threes and things like that. And that, you know, developing that game, but he's not consistent with it either. So this team just feels really flawed because it isn't like a situation where there's a lot of consistency. There's a lot to like. And there are moments for a lot of these players. Kobe Bufkin has had his moments. Joey Baker had his moments yesterday. It's disappointing to see him not like really take that step forward. Will Shetter seems to be getting better and better. Who am I missing? I already mentioned Kobe Bufkin. Terrence Williams had one of his best games for a while, but then he's off the floor at some key points. That's not who I was thinking of. Oh, Terrace Reed has been very good defensively. Missing those free throws was not helpful. But it's after going two wins, alternating between two wins and two losses, which is kind of similar to what we saw last year, except for it was more like two wins, one loss. you're getting in a kind of a dire circumstance. You're 10-8 now, Michigan basketball is. So you're very close to being on the outside looking in, unless suddenly you regroup and you start looking like that 2017 team. I don't remember what year. Yeah, 2017, where suddenly they just went nuts down the stretch and went from being a team that you could count on losing to any good team to suddenly winning the Big Ten tournament, going to the NCAA tournament. So they need to figure it out quick. Got Minnesota at home this weekend. You've got games coming up against Ohio State and another against Michigan State. I mean, you got to figure this out. Purdue is clearly one of the best teams in the country. You need to figure out what you're going to do quick. Figure out how to change things. And I kind of like what Anthony Broom put out there on Twitter. Said that when you look at the record in the last like 55 games, Juwan Howard's saying for competitors only does not hold up to scrutiny. And that seems to be accurate at this point. All right, we went a little bit longer than I thought we were going to. That's good. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. We will be back on Saturday with the Thursday mailbag on Saturday. This is like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. But we will talk to you then. Thanks for watching and or listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.